clickbait and switch, a marketing podcast that tries to cut through the bullshit and hook you up with what you need to know, what you don't, and what stories should be getting more love than they're getting. I'm Mark, that's Gisella. But before we start, last week, Maradona, the Argentine soccer star and troubled genius, passed away. And I believe Gisella, you know, born and raised in Buenos Aires, has a couple things she'd like to get off her chest before we start with the whole marketing discussion.
Well, firstly, my condolences to the Maradona family. And secondly, unbelievable. Like, seriously, son unos animales. Es increíble. O sea, murió un genio. Murió un gran hombre que revolucionó el fútbol internacional. Y aún así, con todo lo que está pasando, la gente se junta, no se pone máscaras, destruyen la Casa Rosada. Es una falta de respeto, la verdad. Pero bueno, es lo que es.
Absolutely well said. Moving on today's show, Pinterest is getting into online events. Instagram expands guides and branded content capabilities. Snapchat launches a feature called Spotlight. And finally, we'll talk about the epic failure by the people running Sherwin-Williams Paint. But to start, Pinterest is getting in online events, or at least they're trying to. Gisella, do you want to break this one down?
Yeah, really exciting. I never imagined Pinterest diving into event hosting features, but it does make sense. It seems teachers have already been using Pinterest and the pin boards to like organize their teaching materials and just education materials in general. So it's like a natural fit. And they're testing it out with a few kind of dummy accounts that you can visit. One of them is called PinZoom123, aptly called. Yeah, I'm kind of excited about this one.
That's pretty interesting because like we talked about TikTok getting into the whole learning space. YouTube obviously has been a place for that. And now with everyone's ability to use Zoom, it's sort of like a natural segue for Pinterest to try and take that DIY inspiration thing into a more interactive event style. Makes sense for them.
Yeah, and think of the connection for the brands, right? Like if you are, I don't know, a cook, you can host a class and have a Pinterest board with the cooking supplies that you use that people can shop directly on Pinterest, because now you can do that on Pinterest as well. And then you can have another board with all your blog posts and recipes. Yeah, it's cool.
It's good. It's a nice evolution for them. Speaking of evolution, Instagram has expanded guides and their branding content capabilities. Earlier this year, Instagram launched this feature called Guides, which allowed creators to share these tips, resources, and other longer form content in a dedicated tab on their user profiles. Why do we care about this, Gisella?
Well, I think it's a really nice space for content play to happen on Instagram. There's more room to tell a story, which is kind of cool. It's looking more and more like a website. Like we were looking at, remember Mark the other day, the profiles, and it looks so crowded. Like there's so many things to click on right now. And this is maybe just another one, but I do see the potential for some brands to tell a more comprehensive story. You can include video, text, photos, so everything can come together. It's within the feed and within the profile, so you're not depending on the stories anymore, so you can give another reason to visit the feed. And Instagram is really hoping that it's going to keep people within the app more because they won't need to click through to a website to view content. That's a little scary from the perspective of a user to stay within the same environment and not come out. And for brands, like it's going to be an interesting decision for a brand, what to put on Instagram and what to keep on your website.
Yeah, the balancing act between driving people to your own properties versus keeping them engaged with your content on these different platforms.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Instagram, I guess to keep people interested also in the other features like stories and reels and other things like that.
You're shaking my head. No, just reels.
They also expanded the capabilities of sponsored mentions. So now you can mention and sponsor content with mentions on stories, which you weren't able to do before. So if you have a partnership with an Instagram influencer, you could put money behind that and really leverage the partnership further.
Makes sense if anybody uses it at all to begin with. I have my doubts. Moving on, Snapchat, our old friend Snapchat, has launched a new feature called Spotlight that services vertical video content from users that's a bit more meme-like, jokey, instead of the more day-in-the-life content that Snapchat was previously sort of encouraging. It's pretty interesting, this whole thing, because Snapchat usually is the one that's innovating. And here we have them sort of leaning back into that TikTok territory.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, they invented the story format. They invented the AR lens thing that we're all playing with obsessively right now. Bitmojis, like they innovated everything that we're using right now on social media. I would argue that TikTok doesn't exist if it weren't for Snapchat. They're a big deal. So the fact that now they are embracing, let's put it in positive terms, something that a different platform is putting forth, I don't know. I'm tempted to call bullshit, but I get it. At the same time, I get it. And why not explore that with their audience as well? So to entice people to use it and make sure Snapchatters try it out and take a decision, they have put up $1 million in prices that they're going to give up daily from now.
To anybody.
To anybody. You could be new to Snapchat. And if you have a Snap on Spotlight, if you get the most views, you could get a cut of that $1 million. So.
Well, everyone's still trying to, like, obviously TikTok is the big fish now, like just stealing up attention. And you have people like Snapchat that are looking to stay relevant. So this is their way to sort of stay relevant by throwing sort of money at everyday people rather than necessarily someone like Triller, who had been throwing money at star power to get people to pay attention to their platform. You know, this last weekend, they streamed the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight, as well as Jake Paul's fight, if anybody still cares about Jake Paul. So it's just interesting to see Snapchat, I guess, fight for attention.
Yeah, and they are keeping, I mean, they're staying true to some of their core values. It's not like Instagram where now you see on Reels all the TikTok downloads.
Yeah.
And on the Spotlight feature, you can't have any watermarks at the moment. So you are encouraged to make your own content for the platform and respect that. You can stay private and post to Spotlight. So if people click through your profile, that's okay. Anybody can see your Spotlight, but not your profile. There are no public likes or comments. So it's kind of a clean space.
Almost pure.
Yeah, that's it.
Kind of cool. Now we're going to get into a topic that has frustrated the two of us because it's been a couple weeks that this has been sort of playing out. So this is the story of Sherwin-Williams, the paint company, who fired an employee of theirs for making TikTok videos while he was on duty, basically working as a Sherwin-Williams employee. The thing is that this person was getting millions and millions of followers by showcasing the paint, the different colors, how it gets made. And it was fascinating. Like, I remember seeing that before I deleted my TikTok account. Like, I remember seeing these and I was like, oh, that's really cool. It's sort of meditative. You watch it and you're like, oh, that's super cool. You know, it's a how this is made type of video, but it was enthralling.
I think this makes me just as angry as people destroying the house of government in Argentina during the Maradona funeral. Like, this is so... it's really sad. It makes me lose faith in companies and marketing. So should we unpack what happened a little bit?
Yes, unpack it.
So there was a part-time employee. His name was Tony. He'd been working at a Sherwin-Williams for 3 years in the States, but he started making videos of the paint mix, like very hypnotizing.
Yeah.
Nice to look at videos of paint mix, like just picture in your head the swirl. Super cool. So he quickly racked up over 1.2 million followers on TikTok.
Mixing paint.
Promoting the Sherwin brand. It's like a brilliant concept for content for a paint company. So he had massive success and he realized this. And he put together a deck to pitch this kind of concept to the marketing department, to corporate. And I guess he showed it to a salesperson in his area from Sherwin-Williams. That person was like, yeah, dude, do it. Here's the contact. And he tried to get in touch with the marketing people and they didn't respond to him. Finally, he got a response weeks later saying something like, we're not interested. But instead, what they did is like they launched an investigation on him and they fired him for making these videos during work hours and with the company equipment without permission. So he was basically wasting properties and facilities and seriously embarrassing the company and the products, which is crazy. And this was also because I guess he used blueberries in a video, like he started to get creative and people started calling and complaining, but they were getting calls. A paint company was getting phone calls from the general public. Like, this is a dream come true for Sherwin-Williams, and they just threw it down the drain. So now Tony, of course, got fired. He told his story, which now, of course, adds a PR nightmare for the company, self-inflicted. And he's continuing to do videos. So his buddy lends him his basement. He buys his own paint now from the competitor. And he continues to make money on TikTok, I guess. And if not, he has a job guaranteed in a whole bunch of other places.
Just an absolute failure.
In the meantime, you have smarter brands. Like, for example, Sephora. They have pre-approved kind of a squad of employees that are also TikTok influencers, and they just let them run free with it. I mean, I'm sure there's some guidelines. And
there are always guidelines, Gisella.
Yeah, we know this. But they're embracing this, and it's brilliant. Like, do the math, right? Like, how many followers does Sephora has? Maybe a million or so. But if each employee of their international stores has just 1,000 followers, it's all organic. All they have to do is support their employees and make sure their employees are happy, give a good work environment, and their employees will do all the content sale for them. Like, it's crazy.
You try so hard as marketers to do anything that sort of breaks the barrier and gets sucked up by popular culture. And this guy did it so naturally, so organically. And the fact that they were so oblivious to how important that was for them. 1.2 million people watching your goddamn paint. Like, that's insane. That they will never, ever get that amount of exposure ever again.
I don't want to end on a sad note, but it's what it is.
That's it for today. By the way, thanks to Cloudic for providing support for our podcast. Just like I support Gisella and her feelings about Argentinian soccer fans. But we should state that obviously these opinions are our own and not that of our overlords. Anything else to say, Gisella?
That's it. Give us a rating. See you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye.